Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores Yukon Sound Alternative. This broadcast is in collaboration with the Yukon newspaper, the Daily Campus, and Yukon student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Shira Tal, and here's the news from the University of Connecticut from this week. On Monday, the Department of Student Activities hosted its annual Fall Involvement Fair featuring over 500 student organizations. After postponement due to severe weather, the involvement fair ran from 2 to 7 p.m. Coordinator of Involvement and Student Organization Support Programs, Services, and Initiatives, Kristen Carr, said around 7,000 attendees were present, making it the largest involvement fair on record. To view a photo gallery taken by our own news director, Kara Murray, check out whus.org. U.S. News & World Report ranked UConn at number 24 this year among public universities in its listing, moving them down from last year's spot at number 22. University spokesperson Stephanie Reed said that a change in the way schools' financial resources are calculated has hurt the university, just as other institutions are competing to catch up and, in a few cases, have leapfrogged ahead again this year. UConn continues to lead in freshman retention rates, with 93% of students returning after their first year and a strong reputation for the quality of its undergraduate programs. UConn is tied this year for number 24 with the University of Maryland at College Park and the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. Impeachment charges were brought against undergraduate student government comptroller Dylan Nenadol on Monday night. Daily Campus correspondent Grace Burns reports Nenadol was accused of being partial to funding the Homies, an advocacy group for Homer Babbage Library that he helped found. According to Homies member Griffin Love and Austin Mott, Nenadol reached out to discuss gaining school funding for the club. While the Homies did not request any funding after the meeting with Nenadol, impeachment charges were still brought against him. As of today, no verdict has been reached at this time. Daily Campus correspondent Luke Hydash reports there are currently 11 construction projects still active at UConn, 9 of which are on the store's campus. The current projects amount to about $242 million in cost, all of which has been approved by the Board of Trustees. The Gantt building renovation is estimated to cost a total of $89 million and is what most of the renovation money is being spent on. It is expected to be completed in the winter of 2021. The university's third quarter report, which outlines UConn's financial spending for the fiscal year, will be released September 30th. Now here's the latest in sports. On Sunday, September 8th, the number 4 UConn field hockey team beat number 6 Harvard with a final score of 3-0. UConn field hockey remains undefeated with a record of 4 wins this season. Their next game will be played tonight at Michigan. The women's volleyball team was also able to pull off a win against Central Connecticut State University last Saturday. Sophomore Kaylee Parker had a season high with 24 kills and 16 digs to lead the team to victory. Men's soccer played their first game at Dillon Stadium in Hartford on Wednesday night, falling short to Yale with a final score of 0-3. Here's WHUS's own John Tewitt and alum Robert Brickley with a recap from the end of the game.
Game number 4 of the 2019 season, and it does not go well. UConn loses to Yale for the first time since 1992, and they get thumped. 3 goals, all of them in the first half. 3-0, your final score from New Haven. Wrapping up the scoring, again, all the goals came in the first half. Mateo wide open, straight on 18 yards out after the giveaway. Arneson fed it to Mateo. He can wind up like it was pregame warm-ups, and he rifled it lower left-hand corner at 29-27. A couple minutes later, in the 32nd minute, foul in the box, no dispute. Miguel Yuste again went lower left-hand corner with the penalty shot, and it was suddenly 2-0, and then the real backbreaker in the first half came at 35-19. Mateo trying a shot from well beyond 25 yards. It seemed to get blocked within a couple yards of where he booted it initially, changed directions crazily, and it just sailed over Catalano's head for a 3-0 halftime score. And that's what happened after 45 minutes of scoreless soccer in the second half. UConn actually wins the shots category 13-9, but very little consolation about something like that. This was a night where a lot of UConn fans, including myself, with high expectations, just kind of stunned that UConn got handled so easily tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's
to hear men's soccer at Georgetown University tomorrow, tune in at 1 p.m. on WHUS FM to hear the game. Women's soccer beat Boston University on Sunday with an ending score of 3-1, continuing their undefeated streak at home games. Both men and women's soccer will continue to play their home games in Hartford for the remainder of the season, as Maroney Stadium is scheduled for completion in fall 2020. Finally, the UConn football team lost 23-31 last week to Big Ten opponent Illinois. Head coach Randy Edsall was optimistic during a postgame interview, saying, quote, "Even though we didn't win, we made improvements, we got better, and we found out about our team a little bit more." And now here's the weekend weather forecast. Today is sunny with a high near 67 in the morning. Clouds increase later for a low around 48 tonight. Saturday is mostly cloudy with a high near 69, light south wind increasing to 6 to 11 miles per hour in the morning with gusts as high as 21 miles per hour. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mainly before 5 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 63. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Sunday weather is nearly perfect, mostly sunny with a high near 77 before becoming partly cloudy with a low around 58 at night. That's all the news we have for this week. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back and I'll be talking with our guests, UConn Perks Chair Emily O'Hara and Vice Chair Jessica Gagnon.
While listening to WHUS Stores, UConn's Sound Alternative.
And we are back from that quick break. We will now be heading into the talk portion of our show. Please note, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS news show are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. I'm joined today by UConn Perks Chair Emily O'Hara and Vice Chair Jessica Gagnon. Welcome, ladies, to the station. Very excited to have you today. How's your week been?
It's been good. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah. So I guess tell us about PERG. You guys are chair and vice chair. How did you feel like you're settling into the role, and how did you guys get involved with PERG?
Oh my goodness. It was this time last year that I went to my first kickoff. Not last year. It was this time 3 years ago that I went to my first kickoff, and now I'm a senior, and I mean, we're working on more campaigns than we did when I started, so I think we've grown. I think we've done a good job. We just had our kickoff, so things are going pretty well for us. What do you think, Jess?
Absolutely. I joined PERG my sophomore year because Emily actually came into one of my classes and she did a class announcement and I had no idea what she was saying, but she seemed really passionate and really excited, so I filled out the card and I came and I got involved and I've been in it ever since. We had our kickoff last night. We had about 120 people there and it was amazing, and I think we're both feeling really good about the team that we're building up for this year.
That's awesome. The kickoff, I know, was like a huge, I'm glad to hear that it was a huge success. What do you guys have to look forward to this year in terms of initiatives and stuff like that?
We're running a mix of six campaigns, putting a big stress on the environment because it's like not only one of our most profound issue areas, if not the most, but it's also like the big issue right now that we is necessary for our generation. So we're running, our lead is the new, not the new voters project, used to be. Zero Waste is the lead campaign. And then we're also running the New Voters Project, affordable textbooks, hunger and homelessness, zero waste. I said that.
That's bees, okay.
And 100% renewable energy. That was the one I was forgetting. Is that all of them?
That's awesome. How do you guys kind of like pick your topic issues? Is it just like hot issues that are on campus or issues that are important to people? Like, how do you guys really balance that and figure out what you want to cover?
So we have a lot of different criteria that we look at when we're trying to decide which campaigns that we want to run. One of them is issues that we think are really profound and important in the world and in America today. And then we also want to pay attention to what it is that students at UConn care about. And we get a lot of feedback throughout the year about what people like about our campaigns and what they would like to see. And we really try to pay attention to everything that people have to say. We try to keep a really good balance of not only environmental campaigns, but also service campaigns, like our hunger and homelessness campaign is really popular because of its service component. And then we also are always working on democracy issues like the New Voters Project.
And what's really cool is we'll offer students the opportunity just to get trained. If they're like, I have this big issue that I care about and I want to just learn how to organize an event around it or organize like a rally, we'll provide that training. It doesn't really matter as long as it's, you know, as long as they are excited about it, we can help provide the services even if we can't run it as a campaign.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, you know, helping students who are involved, or how do you get involved, I guess, in the first place if students are looking to find Perk on Campus? I know you guys are probably most famous for coming into classes, giving your raps, but students who are listening to this and want to get involved, how would you encourage that?
Well, at any point, you can always come to our office. We're in Student Union 214, and there's pretty much people there all times of the day. Always welcome to come and talk to us. And you can also find us on social media. Look up UConn Perk and reach out to us there. We are very accessible. Or if you see us around at tables on Fairfield Way, you'll see tables that have our UConn Perk banner. Feel free to come up to us and ask us how you can get involved.
Yeah, we pretty much never stop recruitment. I mean, if someone were to come up to me at one of the events and was like, can I do this? I, you know, just direct them to our office and have them, you know, sign up for something.
Yeah, we also have our core meetings every Monday at 7 p.m. in Student Union 310, so we're always inviting anyone interested to come there and see what we're all about and then ask us any questions they have.
What have been some of your favorite campaigns to date?
Mine's always a rivalry between Save the Bees and the New Voters Project, because I got my start with the New Voters Project and I still run it today, but Save the Bees will always have a place in my heart because it was my first campaign that I ran by myself, and we got like the Bee Campus accreditation here, so it was like my first victory. I think that one might be my favorite because it's so positive.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people also don't realize that it was a victory in the first place, and that's also important for people who are listening to realize that you guys aren't just coming up with these and, you know, like leading these campaigns, but that they're actually successful too.
Exactly.
I think for me, my favorite is definitely the New Voters Project. Last fall was when I really took on more leadership within the organization, and I worked really closely with Emily during the midterm election, and we were so successful registering over 2,000 students to vote and increasing turnout so much. And I hosted this really big event called the Ballot Party that was really successful, and it was so inspiring to see so many hundreds of students coming together over this issue, and that really cemented how passionate I am for this organization.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Do you guys have any, like, I don't know, do you have to be any major or anything like that, or are your career goals at all in line with what you're doing involved in Perk?
So we want people from all types of majors, all types of backgrounds to join our organization. I think we've really strengthened that in the last few years with drawing a more diverse group of students from different backgrounds to come to our organization, because we work on so many different broad issues and we do so many different tactics, from social media to tabling to legislative work, that there's really space for every type of person.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'm more of the typical Perk student that you'd see, because I'm poli-sci. We do get a lot of political science majors, but as Jess said, we've expanded a lot in years, and Jess is actually running our mentorship program this year. So for students who might not be as familiar with activism, I know, like, I wasn't familiar with it when I came here, they have that support if they were ever like, I'd like to make a difference on an advocacy, you know, campaign, but I don't really know what to do. We have that available as well.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, I know it can be really overwhelming as a new student. You don't really know what you want to get involved with or anything like that, but that's super cool. What do you guys, when you're not in charge of Perk, what do you guys like to do outside? What other clubs are you involved with?
I just joined the moot court competition team because senior year, and I wanted to do something
You're
different.
Like, all right, got to get involved last minute. I feel that. I went to the involvement fair on Monday, too, and I signed up for, like, a plethora of clubs that I'm probably not going to attend, but it's fine.
Why not? Yeah, so I'm in the moot court competition team. I'm also a writing center tutor, so that's, like, my peaceful place is in the writing center. And I'm actually a journal editor in the Law Society as well.
All right, so I know who to send my papers to before they're due. What about you, Jess?
So I do a lot of work with the Honors Program here. I work for the Honors Program and Events Office in Buckley, and I absolutely love it because I get to work with a lot of first-year students and even some second-year students, and doing a lot of mentorship and leadership coaching through that. So that's usually what I focus a lot of my energy on.
What is the best honors class you've taken?
Oh my goodness, what a question. My favorite honors class I've taken was an eGen course, because it's the class that teaches you how to be a unit facilitator. And I had the most amazing time being a unit facilitator and having my own class of first-year students to teach and talk to, so that would be my favorite.
That's cool. And are you working on your thesis at all this year?
I am. I just started it.
That's exciting. Do you know what it's about yet?
Yes, it actually ties in perfectly to UConn Perk. So basically, something that I found in my time with UConn Perk is that we have this really incredible team of activists who don't get paid for the work they do, who don't get credit for the work they do, and yet they're so dedicated and so passionate, and they bounce back from all the challenges that come their way. And that's been really inspiring to me, meeting all of those people. And so I wanted to figure out why it is that people develop those types of capacities for activism. So my thesis revolves around talking to student leaders and student activists on campus and hearing their stories, the challenges they face, and what has led them to continue being the activists that they are.
Yeah, I think that's something that's really underrated. I think that a lot of people kind of look at student-run organizations and just assume that, oh, you must be getting paid. You're spending all this time doing it, and that might not necessarily be true. I know you guys don't get paid in PERG. I know Subog also doesn't get paid. A lot of the other Tier 3s do, but I do think that's important that the time and dedication you guys put aside is really just phenomenal because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not getting paid for it, and I guess just having that experience is truly rewarding in itself.
Absolutely. Big time commitment, but big rewards when you're willing to put up that risk.
It's exciting. What else, you guys? Are you taking any fun classes this year?
Ooh, I'm in a really good WIGS class right now. It's Feminisms in the Arts, and it's like all about, it's a hybrid class. So half of it's online, and it's just all about like centering the voices of feminists, particularly in like for people of color or for marginalized groups, and making their raw, real art known. And it's just been like the most fun class I've ever taken.
That's awesome.
I took that class last year, and it's one of the best classes I've ever taken. So definitely, I recommend that to anybody. My favorite class this semester, I'm taking a grad class called The Psychology of Men and in Counseling and Psychoeducation. So also relates to gender and a lot about masculinity issues and how those relate to the most pressing problems that our society has.
That's really cool. I think both of those, I was going to say, definitely work together and stuff like that. That's awesome. What else? Are you guys doing anything fun this weekend we got to look forward to?
I'm going home. It's with our kickoff, our recruitment drive is like the most we put into the semester because we just want as many people involved as we can get who are interested. So I called my mom and said, I need to take a break. I'm coming home. So I'm dipping out and then coming back on Sunday, fully refreshed.
Nothing like a home-cooked meal, you know,
exactly.
Get back, exactly, and you're like off campus, so nice.
Definitely looking forward to some downtime after all the work we've put into the recruitment drive. And knowing that we have that strong team, it'll be good to sit back and relax for the weekend.
What do you guys think is like the biggest misconception about PERG on campus?
That's a really good question.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that we are in any way partisan.
Mm.
We're an entirely nonpartisan group. So we do a lot of work on a lot of issues that are inherently political because everything is political when you get down to it, but we are entirely nonpartisan. So, and
we do not advocate for like political candidates. That's like feedback we've gotten is like a lot of people think that our mission is to advocate for political candidates. In effect, a lot of those times we're like working on issues that political candidates don't like. So we're, you know, it's not really, it's issue advocacy. And I think that's what makes it attractive.
Yeah, I like that. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we wrap it up? Anyone you want to shout out? Anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I want to give a shout out to my good friend Meredith, who I know has been a frequent contributor to WHU.
Yeah, she's been around the station.
She's been around. I don't know if she'll be listening to this. I'll make her listen to this. But she's always the one that's been pushing me to come up here, and I feel like I need to more now.
Is this your first time at the station?
It's my second time.
All right. We'll take it. Is this your first time, Jess?
This is my second time.
Okay. All right. So both of you guys, your second time. Better than the first time? Maybe. Maybe not.
This is fun. I like
it. Okay. All right. We'll have you guys back. Perfect. All right. Amazing. Can do a spotlight article or something on PERG. That'd be fun.
Always the news station. To work with us.
Yeah. Do you have anyone you want to shout out or anything?
Shout out to Kylie. Just because. Shout out to Kylie Hillary. Oh, shout out. We redo that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Right. Shout out to Colleen Keller, who just ran an incredible recruitment drive, put in so much work, getting so many people involved, and making our kickoff one of the most successful ones that we have ever had.
Yeah, she's just a sophomore, and she ran the entire thing herself.
That's amazing. I love, like, younger students getting involved in leadership. Like, it's awesome to see, and especially as everyone's a senior, you know, kind of phasing out and stuff like that. Eventually phasing out and everything like that. It's definitely exciting to, like, see people who are, you know, really engaged and just, like, want to be a part of the organization, like, super happy and involved in everything like that.
Absolutely.
All right. So that is all that we have. Time for today. Thank you so much, Emily and Jessica, for talking with me, and thank you for listening to our show. Thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I've been your host, Shira Tal, and you are listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Stores.